Monday, July 4th, 2011, Pesach Torah Institute, Rabbi Shlomo Singer Shlita, Rosh Yeshiva, Yom Ian Shir, given by Hagan Harav Moshe Heineman, administrator of Star K, on the Inyan of the 3 weeks.
Abosai, there's no words of Hakaras HaTov, the Hagan Harav Moshe Heineman Shlita, who I knew way back in Lakewood, and I never said this in front of the Rav. Rav came in Lakewood when he was 16. Am I correct? The Talmud Muvik of the Rosh Yeshiva, Ranzech, Tzadik, B'Kaddish Levracha. Alex, the Talmud Muvik of Rav Ranzech, Tzadik, B'Kaddish Levracha, Ziyankel Schiff. Shlita, going Rav Yankel Shlita, who the Rosh Yeshiva made a shidduch with Rav Zev's daughter. The only one, the only one he would learn with is the Rav. I think he was about 17 or 18 at the time when he learned with you. The only one that he would learn with was the Rav. I have to tell him, for fun of, I know it's not nice to do this, but I have to do it. He was my roommate. So I feel very close to him, and he traveled 3.5 hours here, Mamish, and 3.5 hours back again, just to speak to us about that. He did it 4 years ago, and I said it was 4 years, it's time to come back again. So anyhow, with no further ado, the Kavod Harav.
There's nothing in this world that cannot be used for the good or for the bad. The Baruch Hashem made that way. It's murkav. Murkav from good and bad. Our job is to use it for the good. There may be other people who use it for the bad. Someone once asked the Kosker Rebbe, everything could be used for the good and the bad. How do you use apikursus? How do you use that for the good? So he said that when an ani comes and asks you for tzedakah, so you could say to him, don't worry, have bitachon, and the Baruch Hu will help. The Baruch Hu gives panasa to all the animals, to the fish, to the birds. So for you, for sure, I'll give panasa. No. The Kosker says, now you've got to be an apikaris. If I'm not going to help you, you're not going to be helped. That's how you use that. So the question is, yeah, this is 4th of July, Independence Day. It could be used for the good and the bad. Some people use it for drinking and for causing automobile accidents and all kinds of problems. And Baruch Hashem, so it's a day off from work, people can use it for learning. That's how it could be used for the good and for the bad. As a matter of fact, it's Yitachim that the only reason why the Baruch Hashem made such a thing, that there should be a 4th of July, is just in order that people should have extra time for learning. So if it's chus, if you use the time for learning. I wondered, why did the Baruch Hashem create cable TV? Like, what's the purpose of it? But since I'm involved a little bit with Irvin, I understand why the Baruch Hu created it. Could you use the cable for the a line for the Irv? There's the Mishnah says in Tainus that Mishnichnas Av the Mishnah and the Chavav and Beis Mishnah Nechaz Av Vamaitim B'Simcha. So the beginning of Av, so we're supposed to be Vamaitim Simcha. We don't build a bias, so Beis Chasnos, we Vamaitim Masav Matan. We do various things which are considered Vamaitim B'Simcha. The Gemara says in Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Mishnechnas Av Vamaitim Simcha, Om Rav Yehuda Breid Rasho Bar Shilas Shmeid Rav. Rav Yehuda, the son of Rasho Bar Shilas, who said in the name of Rav, Kishem Shemishnechnas Av Vamaitim B'Simcha, in the same way when Av comes in with Vamaitim B'Simcha, Kach Mishnechnas Adar Marvim B'Simcha. So when Adar comes in, we increase the Simcha. Why? Because Av is a time of the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash. So when Av comes in, if we're Ma'ib Simcha, when Adar, which the Zman that Yidden overpowered the Goyim, was saved in the times of Haman, that they were saved from annihilation. So when the Adar comes in, we're Ma'ib Simcha. Amar Papa. So our Papa said, Hilkach, by Yisrael Disleidina Bahadi Nachri, if a Yid has a court case with a guy, Nishtamat Mnei Ba'av, stay away from him in Av, try to push it off, Dereyam Mazle, because he has a bad Mazle. But Limtsi Nafshi Ba'adar, he should make sure that he should try to get it in Adar, Dabari not Mazle, because then his Mazle is very strong. This Gemara, there's a difficulty in this Gemara. Two things are difficult to understand. The Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Shmeid Rav says, "Mishchem shemishanichnas av ma'itim b'simcha, kach mishanichnas ador marvim b'simcha." How? On what basis do we say that? Bishloima mishanichnas av ma'itim b'simcha. What happened on Shavuos v'Tammuz? They broke down the walls of Yerushalayim. It was hand-to-hand fighting. In the beginning of Av, it got much worse. People were getting killed, and they were making their way towards the Beis Hamikdash. Finally, on Tisha B'Av, they got into the Beis Hamikdash and burnt it. But Mishnechnas Av, when Av started, it was a terrible time for the Eden. So it was already a time of Avelis. But Mishnech, but by Adar, there was a decree of Achashverosh that all Jews have to be killed out. V'hashra v'harog v'abiz kol yehudim menava zoke and tafen nashim b'yonecha. It was a decree. Alright, so they Mordechai and Esther were able to work out the deal that Haman was exposed, and so they asked Achashverosh to take back the decree. So Achashverosh said, "No, Savash and Nichta B'Shem Melch V'Nachtum Tabas Melch Ein LaHoshet. There's a decree of the king. You cannot take it back. What can you do? Kisva Yehudim Gatoy Ve'Neichem. You can write good things about the Yidden." What did they write? Achashverosh gave permission to the Eden that they should fight for themselves. So Shkoyach, what did he do for the Eden over here? Before he said that you're going to have to kill all the Eden out, that decree still stands. Now he made a new decree that they can protect themselves. And what would they do if he didn't give this decree? They would just stand there and let themselves get shot for that. So the Yidden were very happy with this new decree, but exactly what was going to be the final thing was still up in the air. At the beginning of Adar, the Yidden was still trembling, and they were still being espoused to the Rabbanu Shalom that, okay, they have a chance to fight back, but at least that the Baruch should help them, that they should be able to win this war. It wasn't a simple thing. At this point, they were still in a terrible turmoil. So there was still, it was still very nerve-wracking time for them, and they didn't know if after Al-Pidach HaTeva, they didn't know that if after they're going to fight, how many Yidden are going to get killed out. Maybe there were 70 nations against one set between 70 walls. This whole world was involved over here. This was a world war, because Achashverosh was the king of the whole world. So if all of them, if going to the whole world could start with Yidden, what chance did Yidden have up Piderach HaTeva? Okay, maybe the bunch will make a nest, that some Yidden will be... It was still... There was no time for Simcha. So how do we say, Kashem Shenichas Adar Av, Mamadim B'Simcha, Kach Shenichas Adar Mamadim B'Simcha? It's not... It doesn't follow. That's the first question. Second question. Therefore, if a Yid has a din with a guy, he should stay away from him in Av Dere Masle. What does that mean, Hilkach? Therefore, knows it seems that since we say the Shem Kishenichnas Av Maitim Simcha, the Kach Shenichnado Mavim Simcha, therefore, you should have if you have a court case, you should have it with in Hadar and not in and if there wouldn't be this Kishem Mishnech Hadar, I mean, if we're saying that Av is not a lucky month, so then what does it tell you on the fact that you are happy when Hadar comes around? Like, how is this telling you? Actually, Tosfos asks that kasha. Perish, Tosfos says, "Mishum Donal El Magagim Chayvul Yom Chachayev." That since there it's a bad day, so bad things will happen on that day. Tosfos says, and actually that Gemara is about three quarters of the way down Amud Aleph, and there's a lot of other things that can be said in between. And Tosfos says that, I can't argue with Tosfos, but it seems to be a little bit docher because the Gemara doesn't connect them really. Okay, then the Gemara goes on to say, "Lo says lochem achris l'tikva." Says the pasuk in Yirmiyah that the Baruch Hashem is going to give you an achris l'tikva. He's going to give you a hope. Amar of Yehuda b'Rei d'Roshur b'Ashiyus made Rav El d'Kolim k'ay pishtam. How does this Gemara get in over here? What does this have to do with anything we've been speaking about? So Rashi says, "I did I Rabbi Yehuda Lel Nachid Ozel." Since Rabbi Yehuda said before, he said that this was Amr of Yehuda Beder of Shorvashil Shmeder Rav, and this he also is going to explain this. So therefore, it's mentioned over here. The Gemara is another. He's going to explain it. Then the Gemara says, "Vayem reirech b'ni kreich sara v'ashemrech Hashem on Yehuda reir v'shuv v'shivs made Rav." He explained it. Now, usually, it's not the derech of the Gemara. When the Gemara says, it's very common in the Gemara that they bring down a member from the Mandoma, and then they said, and he says this, and he says that. They don't have to have any connection, but once they're mentioning him, they say a lot of things that he said. But the signaling of the Gemara is usually the Gemara would say the Amar Rabbi Yehuda Reid Rashua Mishmei Rav May Dechsev Losses Lachem Achas V'Tikva Elu Dekom B'Kay Pishnam. That's the way the Gemara usually says it. The Gemara in Shabbos and of Chaf about Tanchum Mishmei Rav about Ner Hanukkah, and there's a Gemara in Kedushin and of Samach Hey, I think about Abaya, and so when the Gemara wants to say a lot of things, it's not the way that it's in this Gemara. The Gemara just brings the pasuk and says that he said it. Okay, look, I can't argue Rashi. Rashi says that's the pshat, and so that's the pshat. So I wanted to say the following. There's a problem over here. There's a problem because there's a Gemara. Only who debated Shulva since made Rav. Kashem Shinachas Dom Marv Maitim Besilcha, Kav Shinachas Dom Marv Besilcha. No one argues with this. The Rosh brings down this, he brings it down. that kashem. And he brings down this din of that you should be over a papa hilka chai by so this lady of hadi of the chum the stam of the stam in the eight way masle vadon lezel vadon takat masle. The Rif also brings it, but the Rambam does not bring it. He does not bring that Mishnechus Hador Marvin B'Simcha. He does not bring that. And he also doesn't say that you should, that in Av you should stay away, and in Hador you should try to get the Din Torah. He doesn't bring it. Now, that he doesn't bring the din of Hilchas Ba'yisod, this din of Hadin Nachrish Tav Unei Ba'av, and it should be Limsa Nafsha Ba'adar, that's not such a kasha. Because the Harapav said Hilchach, since Mishnah Sal Marv Simcha, therefore this din applies. But he doesn't bring down holding the Mishnah of the Dar Marv Simcha. So he doesn't bring down the din either. But the question is, number one, how they connect it. And number two, why doesn't he bring down the din of Shnechel Sadar Marv Mesimcha? Okay, some sort of that's discussion on some Kuf Samach, but some sort of that has a mahalach. I want to say something else. This halacha, Mishnechel Sadav Mamaitim Besimcha, what is this? Is this a din of Avelus? That we misabel on the Churban, and we misabel on the destruction of Yerushalayim, and the Chazal said that there are certain forms of Avelus which we already have to be noyig already from the beginning of Av, because it started there. Is that it? Or maybe it's a different halacha completely. Because the Mishnah says in Tainus, that as the begin of Macheshvan Nadav Yud Amud Aleph, begin of Macheshvan Shalom Sakshamim, says the Mishnah. They ask for the rain. Rabbi Gamliel Amud B'Shiva Bay. They ask for the rain on the seventh day of Macheshvan. That's in Eretz Yisrael. They start asking for rain. The reign of the Saint Talamata on Gimel Marcheshvan. What's that?
Zion.
Zion, I mean. Yeah, on Zion. Rather than on the Zion. Thank you. Mishnah says, Higir Yud Zion Marcheshvan Vayar Duksamim, Shomim, if the 17th already is here and there's no rain yet, Hischilu hayichidim isanim. So the Tamid HaChachamim, the Tzadikim, they started to fast. Gimel Tanias. Higia Rosh Chodesh Kislev Leyardu Kshamim. If Rosh Chodesh Kislev already is here and there was no rain, Bezdin Gezrim Shosh Tanias Al HaTzibur. Bezdin is Gezer 3 Tanias for the whole Kaisar. Oichu Vashoysim Meshach HaShecha. You're allowed to eat by night, and those fast starts in the morning. Umatorim b'mlocha, you're allowed to do the regular work. The brachitza v'sikha nis asangol tashra amita doesn't have the chayma of Tisha B'Av. It is you're allowed to. The tainus is like our tainus of Shuas of Tamas, Tzem Gedalia, and so on. All right. So, because the rain doesn't come by Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it's very bad news. I remember when Myra Shashiva was Nifta, he was Nifta on Beis Kislev, and it hadn't rained in Eretz Yisrael. So when they buried him, they have a kabbal in Yerushalayim that if it doesn't rain and a tzaddik dies, so you take a wet rag and you put it into the kever, and that's a zgula that it should rain. So they put it in, and right after they buried him, it started to rain. So it worked right away. Okay. Anyway, the Mishnah goes on to say, Adaf Yud Gimel, not talking to the base, not base. Obru elu v'loy nenu. If the those three tanaisim passed and they still were not answered with rain, bezin gozim gimel gzeres acheres hatzibur. Then bezin makes another three fasts. Oichlu v'shoesim b'yom. They're still allowed to fast first us in the morning. V'hasur b'mlocha v'chitzel sinu is the film tashamita. But it's fast starts first in the morning, but it has the chumras of Tisha B'Av. You know how to wash, and you know how to wear your shoes, and Tashem Mitzvah also. But no, no, it's a mechitzas sauce. Obru Eil Vloy Nenu. If those three fasts passed, then they still wouldn't have no rain. Bezrin Gozim Vloy Nenu Oit Sheva. Another seven. So there's the six of now, another seven. Shehein Yud Gimel Taniyah, Sal Tzibur. Hare Hein Yisei Sal Vishayna, Sheba Eilu Masriim, V'Noyim Sal Chanuyis, they close the Masriim, the Tefillah, or with the shofar, knows the chanuyas, they close the stores. Avru elu v'leidenu, if after these 13 fasts there still is no rain, ma'matim b'masa v'matam, they don't do so much business, binyan, they don't do v'netia, they don't build, don't plant, v'erisim v'nesuin, you don't get married, v'sher shomer l'chavera, k'b'nei adam hanazufim l'makam. Like people who are, they put in cherem by the Ribbono Shel Olam, nazifa. So, what is this nazifa? It's like this. Let's say you did something wrong. So your father calls you in, and he gives you a patch. So then you smile, thank him for the patch, and go out on your merry way. So that's a chutzpah. If you get a patch, you're supposed to show your father that you feel bad, and you feel sorry, and you're supposed to show remorse. So if the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't send any rain, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a patch. And if we just go on our merry way and do everything the way we've done before and don't pay any attention to it, so it's a chutzpah. We really are being put in cheren by the Baruch. The Baruch is trying to tell us we're doing something wrong, and we don't take any note. It's not important to us. So we're supposed to, there's such a thing as kabbalas nazifa, that we should feel, we should show the Baruch, and we feel bad, evidently we've done something wrong, and we should act accordingly. We don't just go and but to amusement park and do everything, do our business our merry way we've done before. That it is mamatim masumatan. We only do a business as is the mamish necessary for us to exist. Bebinyan of the tiyah, be'erusin nesun, b'shel shalom, b'ron chaveray. K'mayar man zuf l'machon. So maybe this din of Mishnechnas Av Amaitim Besimcha is not a din of Avelos, but it's a din of Nazifa. This halacha. But if there's no rain, there's no Avelos. Well, where's the Avelos over here? Oh, there's no Avel. Vishleima, that when someone dies, that's the covered of the Nifter, so there's Avelos. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, there's Avelos. But maybe it's not a din of Avelos, maybe it's a din like there's no rain. Okay, so on the same thing is, what happens if your father says, when he wants to give you a prize, he says, I'm very so proud of you that you finished the whole Masechta, I want to give you a prize, give me a bike, a bicycle, and so that you could use. So you say, fine. Walk out, don't take the bike, don't do anything, don't pay any attention to it. So it's also a chutzpah. The father wants to show you that he's happy with you, and you're not making anything of it. Same chutzpah. So I think that maybe this is what Rav Shmuel Ben Rav Shias Shmed Rav might be saying. He may be saying the following. He may be saying then the same way that there is a din that you have to show that you feel dejected by the, you know, you feel the zifa by the fact that the Rabban Shalom is punishing, has punished us, we have to show appreciation for the Rabban Shalom when he does something good for us. What did the Rabban Shalom do bad for us in Av? What did he do to us, ourselves? The Rabban Shalom made this a bad time for the Yidden. From the beginning, from the times of Raglan, they were nechshal, and from the first base of Mirish was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, the second base of Mirish was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So he made it a bad time. So we have to show, because of our Averis, so we have to, he gave us a bad mazel on this time. So we have to, if the Baruch gave us a bad mazel, gave us a patch, we have to present ourselves as being unhappy, dejected, the fact that the Baruch has done this for us. But by the same token, for Mishnechus Adar Mar V'Simcha, it is true that at the time that it happened, they were still very worried until the actual day of Purim happened, and the Basha made a Nes Nigla on Purim, even though Purim is a Nes Nista, he made a Nes Nigla that they killed 75,000 Chamisha V'Shivim Aleph, 75,000 people, and not a single Yid died. They had a war. This weak nation that didn't know how to even to pull a trigger on a gun. They no one taught them how to fight. They were able to fight. 75,000. Not a single Yid died. 75,000 going. And then in Shushan what they killed, and on Shushan Purim who they killed, and no Yid died. So it was Marsh and that's Nigla. But we are thankful to Baruch Hashem that this is a Mishnechnas Adar. Rashi says you may Nisim Hoyl Yisrael Purim or Pesach, that they were days of Nisim, and so we have to thank the Baruch Hashem. There's a good mazel in Adar. And we have to thank the Rebbe for it. The Miri says the Lashon, Geshen Shem Baruchem Al Ra, Kach Baruchem Al Toiv, said this is what we're saying over here. We have to thank the Rebbe for the good. So, Rapapa says, so now it doesn't, even though it was true at that time, it was a very worrisome time until Purim. But now, we see the Mafreya, that it was a good month for them. So we have to, for us. So therefore, we have to thank the Rebbe who gave us this good mazel in this month. So therefore, so Rabbi says, if it's kashem, if it's the same way that you say that you have to feel dejected in Av, you have to be elated in Adar. So evidently, it has to do with the mouth. It didn't have to do with what happened at the time. It's not even about Velas. Because we are really commemorating their Avelis, and therefore we should commemorate their Simcha. They didn't have any Simcha at that time. But we're thanking the Baruch Shalom that he gave us a good month in Adar. We are knowing the Zifa that he gave us a bad month in Av. And if it has to do with the month, so then he said, therefore, if someone has a din with a goy, Nishtam Neba'av, Dre Mazli, Nisnash Abadar, Bar Mazli. Maybe that's the pshat. There's a rush. Now, for those of you who have a Gemara, it would be interesting to take a look at this rush. It's in Perek Dal, Tzimun Lama Beis. Seven lines from the bottom. Says of the first column in some long base. Tasefta. How Leo Tisha B'Av Shabbos? If Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, Eichel Adam Kol Tzarchai. So now Tisha B'Av is Shabbos. A person can eat whatever he wants, even though on Tisha B'Av you don't you're not eat at all. And even the Sudha Masek is before you only eat an halboiled egg and some ashes with some bread. Here it's a regular meal. You can have the most delicious food on your table even though that it is Tisha B'Av. He doesn't have to withhold anything. That this is Tisha B'Av for Shabbos. The person is not even Mutan Tashma Shamita on this Shabbos, which is Tisha B'Av. Rabbeinu Meir, that's the Rambam in Rutenberg, that was the Rebbe of the Rosh, Kosav Hilchas Avelos Shaloi, Kosav Rabbi Yitzchak Mivin, who was the Rebbe of the Rambam in Rutenberg, the Tisha B'Av Shchalias V'Shavos, Afav Yish Ein Deichen Oysa Adlamacha, even though Shonu Deichen Oysa Adlamacha, that we first pushed off to Sunday, Oysa Yem Osab Tashramita, that Tisha B'Av is Osab Tashramita. Midi dahavi akayva mesa beregel. If someone buries his mace beregel in the on a yantov on chol hamoed, she'anu dechem avelos ad la'acharegel. He first starts sitting shiva after yantov. Even so, even though that there is no avelos in regel, the dvar shiva tzin is naik. And kain hachinami gavi shabbos zu gavi tisha b'av hu karegel. In other words, we're saying it's shabbos. There's no avelos. That's what the Rabbi Yisrael Mevin passed. The Tisha B'Av, the Evel Shaychei Adodi, Tisha B'Av and Avelis are connected. Could Omer of Chizdo Perikamadatainas, Atkan Lashon Mari. This is what Rabbi Yisrael Mevin says. Zogt the Rama Rambam, Hadova Yatza Mipi Mari HaKadosh. The words came out of the mouth of my holy Rebbe, V'chol Adas Yisrael Yasu Isa. And every Yid should do that, the Binayga Issa of Tashra Mita on Tisha B'Av Shchalias B'Shabbos. Kedai hu beis elekeinu la'abed olav eina achaz b'shana. Even though the Shabbos is the Zman of Eina, but the Beis HaMikdash is worth it, that we should lose one Eina in the year. Okay, this is what the Ram Rutenberg says. The Afal Pishiyeshli Lahashiv, even though the I could taina on what my Rebbe said, that maybe it's not so correct. The Tisha B'Av Avelus Chalukim B'Kamadvarim, that Tisha B'Av is not the same as Avelus. We find many differences between Tisha B'Av and Avelus. Kadaminan, and he brings various rites. Now I'm skipping all the way down to near the bottom of this on the base. And you, the Nochan Hachmer, you see this at the end of the line. Miu Nochan Hachmer Kadivri Mari. Even though that I hold that Tisha B'Av and Avelos are two separate things, and just because there's a din of Doron Shabbat Zina by Avelos doesn't mean there's going to be a din of Doron Shabbat Zina by Tisha B'Av. You should be machmer like my Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael Mevin, that we ask a tashish don shabbat sinna on Tisha B'Av Shchalias B'Shabbos. You should be machmer like him, We should even be mekel, even if I would be machmer and he is mekel, you should listen to him. The koshkin kishu machmer ani mekel, akam loshen Rabbeinu Meir. This is, he said, this is what Rabbi Amru said. Umi Yuz of the Rosh, Lashon Tosefta Machmash Ein Nimna, V'chein Amadah. Lashon Tosefta, which he started out with, says that V'einu Menea Me'atzme Klum is Mashma, the Tashra Amrit is Mashma. Okay. So, over here, there is a Yisrael Distinct Machoikos over here between the Rabbi Yitzchak Mevin and the Rama Rutenberg. Rabbi Yitzchak Mevin says that Tisha B'Av and Avelos is the same halachas. The Rama Rutenberg says, and they bring rise to what they're saying, I just left out the rise. The Rama Rutenberg said, no, it's not the same. You see many differences between Avelos and Tisha B'Av. So he said, maybe this is the machlokes of Tina. If it is a din Avelos, then it's not possible to say the Kashem Shenichas Av Mamaitim Mesef Chakmi Shenichas Adav Mar Mesef Chak, because there there was a reason for Avelos at the beginning of the month, and here there was no reason for Simcha at the beginning of the month. But if you're saying that it's not a din in Avelos, it's a new din. What is the din? He doesn't say what it is. It's a different din. The din is inyan of Nazifa. Then we say that the Nazifa is that Barshim, this ain't bad for us. So we have to show, we have to feel that. And so the same way, devotion is saying bad for us, we have to feel it. So devotion is saying good for us, we have to feel it. And now we see that there's every month has its mazel. So now we see that that month was a good mazel, even though we didn't know at the beginning of the month of Adar that it was a good mazel. We didn't know at the time. But now we know that it was a good month. And they were never in any, they never were in any trouble. It's only we were afraid that we made it, were in the trouble. So therefore we have to, we have to celebrate already from the beginning of the month, and it's a good month. Okay, so maybe this is the machlokes, but the question is, the Gemara says that k'shem shem sadar mar m'simcha av ma'adim simcha m'shnicha adar mar m'simcha as a machlokes. So where did the Rambam see that he doesn't believe? Okay, I understand it's totally, maybe it's totally in the svara of what I'm talking about. But the Gemara says that it's clearly no machlokes. So it's not so partial, no machlokes. Let's look at the Gemara again. So Rav Papa says, a yid that has a din, the Hari Nachri, Shtam, and the Avdre, Mazda, he believes in Nafshav, the Bar, Mazda. Now, comes the Rambam. And I think he learns a different shot in the Gemara than Rashi does. Frey de Gemara, lo says lochem achris v'tikva. Yirmiyahu is saying that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you into Babel. He's going to bring the Churban, and you're going to have to leave the country. Lo says lochem achris v'tikva. He says that there's something good in store for you. That you're going to have a hope, and you're going to have something that's going to be. This is not going to be the end. This is going to be a hope for you. So how do you say that the Korban Abayis is a bad mazel when the Pasuk says that you're going to have an Achris V'tikva from this? This is a good thing for you. So that's a kasha on Rav Yehuda, Braid Rav Shmuel Bar Shila, which made Rav, because you said that it's you said that it's a bad mazel, and the Yirmiyahu comes and says it's a good mazel. No, it says in the pasuk, Gemara says Gedushin, Mizmo lo asaf al tim bo doim nachlasecha timu es hecho nafshecha somo es yishtang liim. This is a song to us of Asaf, a song. What's the song? That the goyim came, captured Yerushalayim, burnt the Beis Hamikdash. This is his song, the last Akasha. Mizmo Asaf, Kino Asaf me by the way. It should say that this is a lamentation, not a song. So the word Shafach Hamasai al Eitz Ravanim, the word Shafach Hamasai al Basodam. The Baruch Shalom really should have wiped out all the Eden for the Echad time. But the Baruch Shalom had Rachmanis, and he destroyed his Beis HaMikdash in order that the people should be safe. So, is that considered a bad mazel or a good mazel now, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? Is it a bad mazel? Okay, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but at least we're alive. This was a way out of keeping a person alive. It's like an operation. Is an operation something a person should be happy about, or something a person should be sad about? Well, if he needs an operation to keep him alive, it's uncomfortable, it's painful at the time, but this is what's keeping him alive. So the pasuk says, "Lo says lachem achris v'tikva." So how do you say it's a bad mazel? So Rav Emfer de Gemara, Am Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shlomo Bar Shila Shmei Rav Elu de Kol Klei Pishta. No, it was a bad mazel. But the pasuk is saying that when you're in Babel, the Rebbe Shlomo will make sure that you'll have Rashi the Kol is panis for him, Sheish Ben Babel, you'll be able to pick off dates off the trees. You won't starve over there. And there's Klei Pishton, little boy, you'll have Klei Pishton, even though Klei Pishton was the cheapest thing that you could wear in those days, and that's why they made a takana that someone dies, they should put on takrim Klei Pishton. You'll have your basic necessities. You'll have. So don't worry, you're going to shrine, you'll have your basic necessities. But not as you can have this big muzzle. So that's how he answers that. Freidig Gemara weiter. Next question. Vayoyim Rei Reach Veni Kreach Sodesh Baruch Hashem. That says Rei Reach Veni. This is what Yitzchak when he gave the bracha to Yaakov said Rei Reach Veni Kreach Sodesh Baruch Hashem. So what's the kasha? So the Medrash says on this pasuk Rei Reach Veni. Medrash Rabba and I think Pasha Samachay. Re'ei Re'ach B'ni Zeh Ba'es Rishon K'Re'ach Sada. This is the Churban Ashaber Hashem Zeh Ba'es Shal Asad Lobo. That's what it says in the Medrash. It says Re'ach B'ni is the base of Ba'es Rishon because it says Re'ach Nichayach. The carbon tree Re'ach Nichayach is referring to the Beis Hamikdash. Kareach Sada, because it's seen Sada Techaresh, Shebaruch Hashem is referring to Bais Shalas Lova. So the one says like this. The Yitzchak already was a snobber from the very beginning that in order that there should be a Bais Shlishi, there has to be a Churban. There's going to be a Churban in between. So this was the normal metamorphosis of how Beis Hamikdash is going to be built. Well, how do you get a fly? So first you have a maggot, and then you have a pupa, and then it becomes a fly. So the pupa stage, it's going from one stage to the other. So in other words, Beis Hamikdash, in order to have the Bais Shlishi, you're going to have the Churban in between. So therefore, why is this considered such a bad mazel? And for the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Bar Shmosh Bar Shis made Rav, because Gorei Sodah Shal Tapuchim. It doesn't mean it has nothing to do with the Churban Beis Hamikdash or the Binyan Beis Hamikdash. It means like the Reach Sada of Esrogim, Tosafos says, because the Rashi says Nechmasim Ruach Gan Eden, because these were the begadim of Bigdei Chamuda, Sheita Avayis. They were the begadim of Esav, that he was chaimed them from Nimrod, who stole them from Adam Arishan, and since Adam Arishan ate the Eis Hadas, so the Eis Hadas, according to some Shittos, was the Esrog, so it had the smell of the Esrog on the Begadim. Whatever it is, it doesn't mean anything about the Beis Hamikdash. That's what it says. Okay. Oh, so the one answered the questions. The one had questions. The one had questions. So that's why the one said, the Omar, and he said, not Rashi. The Rashi is saying that just because he said before, so no, the one is asking questions on Rabbi Yudah, the one is asking questions on him, so he had to answer them in order to justify what he had said before. So, the one answered the questions. But we have a clown. The Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed Hei, that when the Gemara goes and says, when the Gemara goes on a Mahalach, the Gemara says, Shnu Yehem, their answers, but Shnu Yehem, we're not so much on answers. The Gemara can say, have a lot of answers, but if the Gemara held that these were good kashas, we're not so much on the answers. The Rif, in many places, the Ram, the Rosh, they will often say that when the Gemara comes and asks a lot of kashas on a mandama, and the Gemara actually in Baal Basra is only one kasha. But if the Gemara asks kashas and the Gemara answers them, but since you see from the Gemara that the Gemara is asking these kashas, it seems the Gemara didn't hold like these truths. And that's a cloud we have. So the Rambam sheet also, as you know, is that whenever the Gemara says imtim tsiloima, the Rambam always passes like that. The Gemara says, yeah, we have a question. Is it this way or is it the other way? Imtim tsiloima is it A or is it B? Was it imtim shaloima? It is B. We have another question. So the Rambam paskens like that B, because since the Gemara took that side, it seems that the Gemara was going that was the more misnava side. So this is maybe how the Rambam learns. The Rambam says that the Gemara slugged up Rav Yehuda Breid Rav Shins Mishmei Rav right over here in this sugya, right over here in this Gemara, that the Gemara slugged him up. They asked two kashas on it. Said trutzim, but the Gemara didn't want to be selach on the trutzim. Therefore, aliba da emes, we hold that it's not true that the shemesh nicholas arba matim simcha kachlishes adar marim simcha. because it's a din navelus, the din of Tisha B'Av, and the din of Shemichel Sarav Amatim Zivus din navelus. It was din navelus, so we're commemorating that avelus, but where there's no commemoration of the simcha which they had at the beginning, while there was no simcha, huh? So therefore we don't hold like that. And therefore, what Rav Papa says, Hilchot Bayis Hayat Bayis Shol, this they did about Inachar Yishtam V'nei Bav, and the Rimsin Asher Ba'adar, is also bottled, because it wasn't Hilchach, and because it had nothing to do with the Mazel. And so the Rosh talking about. So the Rif and the Rosh who bring it down, they look like Rashi, that this was not a Kasha on Rav Shulva Shizmei Rav. But this was, it was because he was mentioned before, he's mentioned now, so it was no kasha. So therefore, the more never shook it up. And the Rambam who holds is a, they hold it's not a din avelus, it's a din in Nazifa. The Rambam holds it in avelus, and therefore it will come out that if there would be a Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, according to the Rambam, it will be Asab Don Shabbat Sinner. Now the Rambam doesn't talk about it, so therefore it's difficult to know what the Rambam really would have held, but according to what I've said now, if that's how it should come out, that it should be Asab Don Shabbat Sinner. Now, you know, maybe it's the Emes, maybe it's not the Emes, what I said. Sounds good, maybe. But there's a little bit of a problem, and that is that the Shulchan Aruch does not bring down Mishnech Zadar Marv Mesimcha like the Rambam, but he does say Hilchach Hai. He does say Mishnech Zadar Marv Mesimcha. That's the Mishnah. He does say that. So he doesn't bring it down. So he goes learn like the Rambam. But the he says Tisha B'Av Shchalias B'Shabbos is Mutvat Hashem. That's not what I said. So, furthermore, he says, therefore, someone who has a din with a guy in Av, he should try to stay away from him. Now, according to what I'm saying, has nothing to do with the mazel. So why do you have to? Why the whole thing is a stereo, according to the way I'll explain it, or every time I'll explain is wrong. One of the two ways. But I think he said this. Very interesting. The Mechaber says. Hi by Mishnechas Av Maitim B'Simcha Ubay Yisrael D'Islei Dino B'Hadei Akum L'Shtamet Minei D'Reya Mazle. You should stay away from him D'Reya Mazle. That's the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. So what's that different from the Gemara? Very different from the Gemara. The Gemara says Hilchah Hi by Yisrael D'Islei Dino B'Hadei Av L'Shtamet Minei B'Av D'Reya Mazle. The Mechaber doesn't say B'Av. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says Mishnechas Av Maitim B'Simcha V'Hai by Yisrael D'Islei Dino B'Hadei Akum L'Shtamet Minei D'Reya Mazle. It does not say B'Av. What's the difference? Because the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is Mashma Mishnechas Av Maitim B'Simcha. And during that period of time, he should be mishtamet from going to court with a guy. The Gemara says mishtamet ne ba'av the whole month of Av. So Mishabur says of the mishtamet ne derei mazel. Mishabur on this in Tov Kuf Nun Aleph right at the beginning in Erchaim. So the Mishabur says kol hachodesh, because that's Lashon of the Gemara. And he brings from Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, Kol HaChodesh. And then he says, V'yesh Omrim Ad Tisha B'Av. And afterwards, you don't have to. Where is this from? From the Korban Nisanu. The Korban Nisanu over here on this Rosh says in the Zohar that there's 2 months that belong to Yaakov. And 2 months that belong to Esau. The 2 months that belong to Yaakov are Nisan and Iyar, and the 2 months that belong to Esau are Tammuz and Av. And even in Av, it's only until Tisha B'Av that it belongs to Esau. That's what it says in Messiah. So Mishnah says, that Yesharim only until Tisha B'Av. After that, you can go to court. Now, there's a profound difference over here between the Zoya, which the Rabbi Yisrael is quoting, and the Gemara. The Gemara says clearly Ba'av, and that's why the Sunday Ba'av, but the Sinash Ba'adar is the month, because we're talking about the muzzle of the month. So it's the whole month. But the Zoya is not the same as our Gemara, because our Gemara says he should Limsinash Ba'adar. They should have the Din Adar. The Zoya says that the months of Yaakov were Nisan and Iyah, not Adar and Nisan, which is Mashmal and Rashi. So it's a different opinion. It has nothing to do. The Rashi gave those months. So I think that the Lashon of the Mechaber that says Mishnechnas Abba Ma'itim Simcha and a Yid should stay away from going in court is in this Mishnechnas Adar. During that period of time, that's the Pashat Mashmos of the Mechaber, and it's because of the Zoya, and it's not because of the Gemara, because as I said, the Gemara that he holds that it's not a din in Avelus, and it's a din in the month, and therefore, the Mechaber holds like the Rambam that it's a din in Avelus. And the Avelus has nothing to do with the month, has nothing to do with the mazel, and we don't pass them like this Gemara. That was the maskana of the Gemara. We don't pass them like it. But there's a Zaya, and for the Zaya, you should be chashuv for the Zaya only during the month, because the Gemara says clearly the whole month. Then we've got the other problem, and I'm just going to say in 2 minutes I'm going to explain the other problem. That it says Mechaber says that Tish Rosh Chodesh B'Shabbos, that there is Tashmita is mutter. So we said that if it's Avelus, and therefore it has nothing to do with the mazel, so then Avelus should be also like every Avelus. Our time, this is different than every Avelus. It isn't an Avelus. But the Mechaber in Yerodei and Siman Tov says that when Potter says Shiva, so he has 7 days of Avelus. So one of the days is Shabbos. Now Shabbos is Oila, it's Oila for the 7 days, even though he's not being made any Avelus on Shabbos. So he only 7 days of Avelus, he only have six. So Mechaber says that since he's Mechuyiv to be Noig Dron Shabbat Sinna, so he's being Noig Avelus on Shabbos too. And therefore, it's considered 7 days of Avelus. So I wonder, Taina, that over here, if we're going to, there's 9 days that the Chacham said from Rosh Chodesh until Tish B'Av, the person will be to be Noig Avelus. If we're going to say that Shabbos, it's Asa in Tashrei Amita, if we're going to say Don Shabbat is Noig on Shabbos, then there wouldn't be a din of Avelus on the day that we fast. You can't fast on Shabbos, so Chum would not eat the din of Shabbos, so they say you fast on Sunday, but there wouldn't be a din, it would be a very strange type of Tisha B'Av. It would be Tisha B'Av, it would be a fast, yes, it would be a fast, but the Avelus would be over, because you already have 9 days of Avelus, because Shabbos, you would not eat Avelus. And Mechaber says clearly in Siman Tov over there, that the reason why it's Oila is because you're not going Shabbat Sinai. So therefore, if we're going to say that Dron Shabbat Sinna is night on Shabbos Chabot Tisha B'Av, then there would be no, there's 9 days, so there wouldn't be any, there would be a Tisha B'Av, that there would be no Avelus, or Chitza, Sicha, Nias, Asano, that would all be Mutter. The only thing is you would be Chit to fast. It would be like a tax lesson, that you just fast and there's no Avelus over there. So in order that shouldn't happen, there should be a real Tisha B'Av, the way you know Tisha B'Av. So the Chum said that you're not naive. You shouldn't be naive going Shabbat Sinna on Tisha B'Av in order you don't have the 9 days and you have to make up the 9 days later. I want to thank you all for coming to listen, and want to be mechazik you that you should use all these kind of days that you often worked for Limud HaTorah. It's a tremendous chus. Thank you.
Anybody have any questions? Maybe any akashas on Shabbos? The Rav is inyanim. The Rav has many, many special inyanim that the Rav. questions that exactly work together. So you're welcome to ask some questions if you will.
Give a nice picture.
Come over here, Rabbi. I'll get the rubber on that. Straight
to the page.
Okay, this relative lives in the United States?
Yes.
Okay. In many countries, you have to check nuts for bugs. In the United States, it's not the pshat that the United States bugs don't like the nuts that come from Brazil and from other countries. It's because they come with the bugs in the Brazilian nuts. They come from the nut itself. Nuts are full of bugs, but when they come to the United States, there's a law that they're mechuyev to fumigate them. So they put them in this room, and they put this gas, poisonous gas, that's going to kill them. Then after that, they vibrate the nuts to get out all the psoilus, which includes the bugs, and that's why you don't find them. But I remember when I lived in England, all nuts were full of bugs, even peanuts. And Arayam Azeh, I have this kind of a habit from when I lived there, that I open up the nut to see if there's any bugs in it. I never found any bugs in the United States. But in other countries it is very prevalent, and that's probably where it came from. It could be there was some Pesach in Eretz Yisrael who said that you have to check them for bugs, and in Eretz Yisrael it could be there are bugs. The United States doesn't have them.
The meaning of not having food under a bed, so when that comes relevant on a couple of questions. One is on an airplane, putting your bag underneath your food. On the other, if a guy goes to sleep, he has some candy in his pocket, or if he has like some antibiotic medication, which may not even be a food in his pocket, he falls asleep. Does in any of those cases, you know, is there a problem? His food was under the passenger's bed, and the passenger on the airplane fell asleep, or his food was in his pocket, his candy, and he fell asleep, or he had some prescription medication in his pocket, and he fell asleep. Is that similar to food under a bed, and does it usher the food?
Okay, good question. The Gemara says, the mitzvah shel talmid chacham, the bed of a talmid chacham, it only has shoes under it. So this is the source that you can't put, if you put other things under the bed, there's a ruach hatumah on it. Now it's not clear from the Gemara whether the ruach hatumah comes because it's under the bed, or it comes because someone slept on it. Now when the Gemara says under the bed, is the fact that it's under the bed cause the ruach hatumah? Either no one slept on it, or is it only because someone slept on it? And then there's lav dafka bed, that even a chair, if you sleep on a chair and something under the chair, it would be also tummy. I personally think that it has to do with a person that someone's sleeping, but it's not clear. And there's, it's not clear. So, therefore, if you are on an airplane and there's someone in the seat in front of you, and you put a briefcase or whatever is under the seat and someone else is there and he's sleeping on it, I would think there may be a problem. Now, it could very well be that it's only if a yid sleeps on it that it's a problem, but if a goy sleeps on it, there's no problem, because the amount of tumor that a goy can generate is not the same as the amount of tumor that a yid can generate. So a yid, if he dies, kalabal oil v'chalasheb oil yitma shivas yamim, so the whole house becomes tummy. If a guy dies, we hold that the ikashita that a guy is not mitam ba'il. It's mitam ba'magamasa, but it's not mitam ba'il. The Rav Shulchan Aruch says that the question if a child can a child be mitam if he doesn't wash his hands, does he make anything treif if he touches something? Not treif, does he make it undesirable if he touches something? So the Rav Shulchan Aruch says there's only tuma where there's kedusha, and a child until he can answer amen or do some kind of a mitzvah, so there's no kedusha, and so he can't make any tuma. Then he says maybe by a boy, once he had his bris, he already has a kedusha in him, so then he could be mitam also. But there's one redeeming factor of this whole thing, that the Atzus HaChaim, that's from the Malvim, and the Mishnah Berurah, and the Rambam, and various other poskim say that even though that it says in the Gemara, that it's mashma in the Gemara, that you should not put food under the bed, but if it was under the bed, the food doesn't come also with the Evet. It's still mutter. And that's how Mishnah Berurah paskins, and the poskim paskin that way. If you want to be machmir, what you can do is that you put the food into a mikveh, or you pour three times over it from a keli, degobas on the food. Well, if you've got an apple, you could do that. If you have a cake, so then it's not to. But what they do then is that they put it in a plastic bag and they pour degobas over it. But you're not required to do that. Mishmur says, even without that, you're allowed to eat it. So if it's happened to your medicine or it happened to food, you should not throw it out because of that. It will be considered bal tashkis and you could eat it. If you want to be machme, you can pour degobas over it. Okay, so normally we thought that there's no problem when you drink coffee, because they have separate kelim for coffee. It's only used for coffee, and as long as all the coffee is kosher, even if after they cooked up the coffee they may pour in some milk or other things, or flavorings that are maybe not kosher, but the kelim are kosher. And that's what we used to go with. Now, there has come to light, we heard this from someone that worked for Starbucks, that they actually do sometimes clean the parts of the coffee. They wash it, and they wash it together within the same sink where they wash the other kelim, which are used for an orange treif. And so therefore, we're not recommending it anymore, the chatchila. But if someone's on the road and he needs coffee to keep himself awake, he has no other place to get it except like this Howard Johnson or whatever, then we say there's some kelim in a bnei yaman, and so there's for his mutter b'dieved, and it's considered a b'dieved situation, he's allowed to eat it. So that's our policy at this point. Now, I don't know for sure that, I mean, this is someone from a work there. I don't know for sure whether this is true by all of them. We always assume they never wash anything. It was also based on what they, from the workers over there. They wash it. No one's going to know the difference anyway. So, but it seems that sometimes they do. When the boss comes to check up, they wash it, whatever. So it's not machatchil. 100% fruit juice, orange juice, apple juice, apple cider, that the apples and cider shop or the banana shop. The only ingredient is 100% orange, 100% apple. Is it such a thing, or is there something in there? Okay, now you're talking about fruit juice which doesn't contain any grape juice, right? Right. Like a Minute Maid, for example, has a Triangle K, and it's a different ingredient, 100% orange. All right, so if you want to rely on Triangle K, you can. But you should know that it's not as simple as you make it sound. I'll explain to you. Let's say apple juice. Now, if you try and make apple juice yourself, you squeeze out an apple, it will never look like apple juice. It's cloudy because it has a minute piece of apple bulk in it, and it's not clear. It would never look clear. They actually filter out all the clouds before they sell it. Just because, now there was red-cheeked apple juice. They prided themselves that it has the mushrooms of the apple in there also. But you ever notice the red-cheeked apple juice always came in a brown bottle, in a dark brown bottle. Do you know why? There's a reason for that. Because if you have the bulk in it, after a while it sits on the shelf, the clouds go down to the bottom, and no one's going to buy that. It looks old, and it's looks like it's half clear and half not clear. So they had in dark brown, they figure that by the time you put it in your shopping basket and you take it out, it will get mixed up a little bit. But that's why it was in a dark brown bottle. Now, they had some kind of a patent that would keep it suspended for a longer, much longer period of time than normal. But even so, they were afraid that it's going to start settling. But what they do commercially to get out the clouds, they put in something, typically it was gelatin, they put it into the apple juice, and the clouds get stuck onto this gelatin. They throw out the gelatin with all the clouds in it, and that was the typical type of clarifier that they used to use. Now, number one is that it could easily stay in there for 24 hours, and there'd be a problem that it's kovash. There's some people that say they can tell if they use the, you can tell by how it frosts when it comes out of the refrigerator. They can tell if it was, if they use gelatin or not. But that is, because there's other ones you can use, which are not made out of gelatin, which are maybe cheaper than the gelatin. But the reason, they're not mechuyev to put it on the label, because it's not an ingredient, it's a processing agent. And that they're not mechuyev to put on. So it's just saying that it's not so simple, just that everything's complicated today. There's nothing that's kosher. Especially if it comes from China, it's not posh. So it says apple juice. Who knows what, where it come from? Could come from a sea lion or something. Who knows?
Yeah. So you get certain raw spices that are very unusual. You have to go to an ethnic neighborhood or store. From what I hear, it's kind of, they're paranoid to have some of their avodah zarahs in those stores. Is it a problem to go in and get a raw spice from a place that has a bazaar? And if it's mutter, do you have to watch out about bending over anywhere in the store?
Okay, so these, does anyone go into the store to worship this avodah zarah?
I don't know.
Okay, I doubt it. I don't think so. They probably put it in there for good luck. The owners are Buddhists or whatever, so they have over there. What they put in front of them, they put in front of them is fruits, so those fruits you should not use. But the otherwise, if it's the place is not made for the covet of the avodah zarah, it's not a place beautiful for the avodah zarah, and people don't worship avodah zarah over there, you have to go in there and use the spices as long as they're kosher. Yeah.
And what are the arguments for against quinoa?
Quinoa. Okay, so let me tell you the story about quinoa. There's someone in the Baltimore community that asked us if we allowed to eat quinoa on Pesach. We had someone who was going to Eretz Yisrael, and he said, we gave a bag of the quinoa, and we said, go and ask Rav Blau, I think his name is Rav Shai Blau. He's one of the Dayanim of the Eda Charedis, a very intelligent person, not just in Torah. He's written many Svarim, Bris Yehuda, he's got eight Chalakim on Chash Mishpat, Zakel Mishpat he wrote. He wrote a lot of Svarim, a big time of Chacham. He was a banker for one time. Very smart person. He said, he would know, ask him. So he went to Rav Blau. Rav Blau said, he's very busy now, he has no time, leave it here, by tomorrow I'll come back and have an answer. Came back tomorrow, and he wasn't there, but the bag was there with a note on it, and it said that it is not chametz, it's not from chametz being a dogma, and it's not kidneys. Fine. So he came back. We announced it in the name of Rabbi Blau. The Rabbi Blau says that quinoa is not kidneys and it is not chametz. You could use it on Pesach. Okay. So after we announced it, so then all the other kosher organizations followed suit, and they announced it too. Someone from England called up Rabbi Blau And he said, "Is it after a couple of years, is it true that you said that kinwas, you're allowed to use on Pesach?" So Rav Lau said, "I don't want to have anything to do with it." He says, "Can we eat it? Cannot. I'm not saying yes, I'm not saying no." So, okay, so they got back to us, "How can you say his name, Rav Lau?" He says, "Well, I don't want to have anything to do with this." So the person that went there, who got this note from Rav Lau, after a year or so, he went back to Eretz Yisrael, and went to Rav Lau, and he said, "I'd like to eat kinwa on Pesach." He said, "I won't have anything to do with it." So he gave him the note, said, "You gave me this note 5 years ago." He looks at the note. He says, "This note is my sister's handwriting. It's not my handwriting. But my sister wouldn't have written something like this unless I told her that's what she should write." He says, "I really hold it as mutter, but I don't want to get involved in the whole politics of this. Just leave me out of it." Okay, so we couldn't use his name anymore. So I said, "If we can't use Rav Lau, we'll try and figure it out ourselves." So I got flour, kinwa flour. I bought a bag of kinwa flour. I bought a bag of kamut flour. Kamut is supposed to be an Egyptian, old Egyptian wheat. And I bought a bag of regular wheat flour. I took the same amounts of flour and the same amounts of water, and I mixed them. I waited 18 minutes to see which one is going to become chametz and which one is not going to become chametz. Chametz means it starts to rise. Guess what? None of them rose. So I waited till the end of the day, and nothing rose. 3 days later, I checked it again. The regular wheat was big, big holes inside that it had. The kamut had holes, but not as big. And the kinwa was like pudding, didn't rise at all. Okay, so I said that seeing is the biggest proof. Evidently, it doesn't rise, it doesn't become chametz. So we don't have to say in Rav Lau's name. We can say in our own name. The only thing is that maybe it's kidneys, because kidneys doesn't rise either. Okay, so now there's a standing rule of kidneys. What is kidneys? It either grows together with wheat, or it is has properties of wheat. You make flour out of it, and you can make food out of it, like you can with wheat. So it doesn't grow with wheat, because it grows in the Andes Mountains. And there's no wheat that grows over there. Just kinwa. So that we didn't have that problem. Maybe it's the fact that you grind it, that you can grind it and make and you can make cake with it, like you can make from corn. It's different because you can grind potatoes. So why isn't potatoes kidneys? And so it seems that whatever they're makabel is kidneys. We don't invent new kidneys as well as that. And it seems to, Henkin seems to say that, and it seems to be a pretty well-established concept that what Kaisos makabel themselves as kidneys what they were not, even though they may have some properties like wheat. So that's why we use potatoes. The potatoes was found only in the United States, in America, and they didn't have it in Europe. So at the time when they were covering themselves kidneys, they didn't have any potatoes. As a matter of fact, potatoes used to be a very prestigious food. And someone could bring potatoes over from the New World into Europe in those times. So so it's not kidneys. So we said it's not kidneys. We said it on our own. Of course, in the back of our minds, we were samach on Rabbi Lau, because he said he just doesn't want to get involved with it, but we have really established by ourselves, and there's enough proof that it's not kidneys. And I just want to mention something that it says in the Mishnah in Menachos, the Kol Menachos Bar is matzah. All the Menachos have to be matzah, except for the Lachmei Toidah, 10 of the Mochamets. So it says in Tiferes Yisrael, very interesting thing. It says, in 18 minutes, nothing will ever become chametz. It's only under the most, maybe the most perfect conditions, it might become chametz. But if you don't put yeast, you go into home and tell your wives, make me challahs for Shabbos without putting any yeast in it, it won't work. Maybe you should wait 3 days for it to rise, maybe it'll work. But it doesn't rise in 18 minutes. So even though we're machmer, the 18 minutes is considered chametz, so I'm not trying to get away from that, but it was not an unusual thing that the regular wheat, even in a day, did not rise, because the Tiferet Shor says that under normal conditions it won't rise in many hours. Okay, any other questions?
Since we touched on Pesach, for a granite countertop, in terms of koshering it, I've seen these steam machines where the steam will come out, it's 212 degrees, and if you put it on the granite, it will get hot to the touch if you're going slowly over and it very much wets the surface. Is that an acceptable way of koshering the countertop?
You cannot kosher with steam. If you put steam on it and the steam condenses
right.
And becomes water, then you can kosher with that, as long as it gets high enough. You can also kosher by pouring hot water over it. I don't know which is easier.
Hence,
which
the Baal HaBayis is very mocked to have water
pouring
over
it. Depends what the floor is made out of, right?
right. But as long as you let it condense and it gets hot to the touch.
As long as it becomes water, it's
right,
okay.
Right, okay.
So there's a pumpkin in the back.
What if the Rav called about LED lights on Shabbos?
LED lights? Okay. The Torah says, "Le'svaru eish b'chol mosh v'sechem b'yom haShabbos." You're not supposed to light a fire on Shabbos. So when you put on an electric bulb, it's considered lighting a fire. There's something burning over there. I asked Rav Moshe Feinstein if you're allowed to take off your sweater on Shabbos. Because very often you take off a sweater that's made of rayon, so all kinds of sparks come out. He said, it's nothing. It's garnish. It's no problem. Why? He didn't say this, but I figured this out myself. Fire is light and heat. If you have heat without light, it's not fire. So you take a spoon and you put it into hot water. It gets hot, the spoon, but there's no light, so it's not fire. If you have light without heat, it's also not fire. So the chemical lights, like the trucks have, there's one tube inside another one. You break it. You break the inside tube, and the two liquids mix and gives a light. Is not considered making a fire because it's light without heat. Now the question is this LED. Is there heat in this LED, or is there no heat in the LED? We have a hot solar in Baltimore, and we've installed LED lights in the ambulance, because you may have to put it on Shabbos, and so maybe there's less of an issue with LED, because it's light without heat. Well, what we found out is that we had to install a special fan behind these LED lights so they should not burn out, because they get boiling hot, these LEDs. So it is true that when you have a small LED light, maybe you can notice the heat. There is heat in it, but it becomes more noticeable the more intense the LED light is, or the bigger the LED light is. So even in a regular bulb, let's say a flashlight bulb, gets a little bit warm, doesn't get hot. It's not like a bulb, an electric bulb, that even a 60 watt bulb, it gets hot if you want to touch it. So it's less heat. So the question is, by the LED lights, at what stage is it considered getting hot or not? Okay, so that's something which has to be decided by, in each case, depending on the light, what it would be. It is conceivable that it may not be considered a fire if there's no heat, but if there would be heat, a noticeable heat, then it would be considered a fire. I want to mention something so that you can get a stronger insight into what I'm saying. There's a shaila with the new refrigerators. I don't know if you know about this. most people would know the hat on the refrigerator, that you can open it up, especially if it's working, because the question is, are you causing the compressor to go on when you open it up? Because when you open it up, so the warm air gets in, cold air comes out, and so the thermostat is going to call for more cold, and so the compressor is going to go on. That was our main question. But there is another completely different question in a refrigerator, which is much more severe than this, and that is when the heat goes on. Now, every refrigerator has heaters in it. What are the heaters for? In the old refrigerator, sometimes you can feel the size is hot and when the insulation wears out. So there's heaters. The heaters are on the condensing coils, the coils that make the cold. If you don't put heat on them, then they will frost over, and then it's like your air conditioner frosts over and it won't give off any cold anymore. So there's heaters. Now, in the former times, there was never any problem with these heaters because the heaters worked on a time basis. So let's say 2 hours of refrigerator worked, and then for 10 minutes the heaters went on, defrosted the coils, and then another 2 hours the heat is off, and doesn't make any difference if you opened it, you didn't open it, it would always be on this cycle, time cycle. So therefore there was no problem when you're opening it and closing it. It had nothing to do with the heaters going on or off. Now the companies have to put a label on it, how much electricity is going to use, and everyone's trying to work out that you use less electricity, so that if you say that the amount of electricity this thing would normally use in a year is $169, which is never true, but if it would be true, so then if you leave it closed the whole year, it may be $169. But of course, the amount of electricity you're going to use depends on how many times you open it. But in order to do that, to make it less, they have decided, why should we have this heat going on a time cycle when the frost that it's going to produce depends on how many times you open the refrigerator? Because it's the water vapor in the air which frosts on these cold coils. So if you don't open it the whole night, there's no reason why you should have to defrost anything. There's not going to be any frost on it. So, but if you open it up 10 times within an hour, so then maybe you need it even faster. So in order to save electricity, they, instead of putting on a time cycle, they put it either on a capacitor time, on a compressor time. That means if the compressor, if every 10 hours that the compressor works, 20 minutes it goes onto the heat. Or in some places, they it depends on how many times you open the door. That if you open the door 10 times, it'll go on. If you leave it closed, it won't go on. Either of these two ways, it becomes a Shabbos problem. So when we were looking into this, so I said to my maven, who knows a lot about these things, I said that if the heat, which is produced by the heating coils, does not have any light, it's just heat without light, it would not be considered making a fire. So he asked the company said, absolutely, there's nothing, there's no light at all, it's just heat, and therefore this wouldn't be a problem. I said, send me over a heating coil, and I'll look at it myself. So they sent me over the heating coil, it's just a heater now, this is without, and I went into a dark room and plugged it in, and clearly you could see it was glowing. When you're in this kind of room, you wouldn't see anything. But if it was dark, you could see it. Because the heating coils are inside a metal sheath. The metal sheath doesn't glow. The metal the coils inside the glow, and you can see it through the metal. And so you're clear of those. So therefore, it has become a problem. Maybe there's a heta that every time you open it, you could say that Rav times when you open it, it's not going to cause it to go on, and therefore you could, if you've opened it 20 times, you say it probably won't go on. then after the 21st time you say, it probably went on already, and so therefore there could be some Aterim of it. It's not so glatt kosher like it used to be. When it was only dealing with an Issa Drabanan of electric power, now we're dealing with an Issa Deraisa. But that's how it comes out, and with this LED light, it all depends on whether it generates heat or doesn't generate heat, and that's something that you have to be very careful about, because there's all kinds of interests over here to say it does, that it doesn't, and you have to, first thing is make sure for yourself. You're talking about insects?
Yeah.
Okay. There are... I think that practically all the vegetables that are available can be bought without any insect infestation. That have either been checked or they're grown in a certain way that they don't have any insect infestation. They're all available. Not necessarily if you go into the supermarket, but if you go to the right place, you can get them. And we make them get them. Now we have, the Starke itself has six very large vegetable lettuce companies. And we have mashkichim there that check for bugs. The Boston lettuce and the iceberg lettuce usually are okay, but the romaine lettuce is a very big problem. The bugs like romaine lettuce, and sometimes, like every 20 minutes, there's a new tractor trailer truck that comes into these factories to bring in new lettuce. So. Like Rush Express or some of the others, and we check them, and if we find any bugs, we don't let them put the Starke on it. The Starke is not printed; it is not printed on the bag, but it is printed with a date code, so it's under the surveillance of the mashgiach, that he checks and sees they're okay, they're allowed to put the Starke on the date code, right next to the date. The date when it expires, you shouldn't use it before this date, because it's impossible. So a couple of months have passed by, and we didn't find a single one in Scotia. I don't know why they even pay for the heksher, you know, but they do get also, sometimes we have it. One thing they have a system of cleaning it. There are special systems, expensive systems, which they've installed for cleaning out the bugs. We found out one thing. If it's full of bugs, when it comes in, the system's not going to work. If it comes in without bugs, the system doesn't work.
Yes. Most tuedos that are issued to Mishulachim are valid for 2 weeks. And I used to think, well, I mean, if it had only expired maybe a week ago or 2 weeks ago, that shouldn't be a problem. Then I let it go if it was a month late. Then I let it go by if it was 6 months late. I mean, my question is, what does that 2 week period of validation mean?
Okay, so I can't speak for other places, but in Baltimore, we give them 10 days. We only give them the authorization to collect for 10 days. There's both a legal ramification over here, and there's also a Stocker Indian over here. There's a problem. They write out the checks to the Good Israel Charity Fund. Well, that's why isn't that considered laundering money? No, they're trying to give it to this Oni, and they write out checks to a charity organization. It doesn't go to the charity organization, it goes to this person. So that's called laundering money. So in order to get around that, our lawyers told us that we should appoint this person to be our, to be authorizing him to collect for the Abu Charity Fund. And it's written on the paper that this money is going for our general charity purposes, including, but not limited to, this purpose this person is collecting for. And then we are an organization and we have right to give out stock to whoever we want, and he's collecting for us, and therefore it is permitted. So when we say that you have the right to collect for 10 days, after that it's illegal really for him to collect, because then it does become laundering money. So he really has no right to collect after those 10 days. The reason why we give him 10 days is because we on the average have about 600 mishlachim that come every year, and if you there's 365 days in the year. Let's say there's 13 Yom Tovim and 52 Shabbosim, so basically about 300 days in the year when Shalachim can collect, right? So if you have 600 Shalachim who only go to a person once, so that means that you have an average of 2 Shalachim a day going out to each person. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, so... Pardon?
Yeah, what do I do,
personally? No, no. So therefore, in order to, if you let them stay for a month, they're going to go, they go to you in shul, they go to you in chasna, they go to you by levaya, they hit you 10 times, but you don't recognize them, they all look the same, basically. So in order to protect the people, they should give once, you give them 10 days. Okay? So, and that's why we do that. And you have a right to say, this is what I tell everyone. The who comes to Baltimore, I say, you have a right to tell the Mashiach, if you get a letter from the official which gives out these letters, then we'll give you. But until you get the letter, we won't give you until you get the letter. And you're not saying I won't give you, you say I'll give you when you get the letter. Now, there are various reasons why they can't get the letter. One reason may be because they were here within a year, and we don't give them 2 letters in a year, even if they come for a different purpose. But because whatever purpose they come for, they're really coming for themselves, right? That's the bottom line. But this is most of the time, because they already know they can't come in during the year, is that we've had problems with some of them. Some of them are outright ganavim. So how does he steal when he comes to you? How does he steal? I'll tell you a story, so then you'll understand a little better. This is before we started giving out these letters, and that's one of the reasons why we started doing it. This Mishola comes, and he asks someone for money. So he says, he took out his checkbook, starts writing, he says, maybe you have some water that I can drink? So he goes to the... He goes to the kitchen, gets him a glass of soda, and brings it out to him. He finishes writing out the check, gives it to him, and fine, $5 check he gave. At the end of the month, he gets back his statement from the bank that he had given out a $12,000 check to someone. So during that time, he went out to get him the drink. He looked in his stuff, see how much money he has in the thing. He tore out one check from the end of the book. And he had the check, the $5 check, so he copied the signature, and he got himself $12,500 altogether. $12,005. So that's I must say, most of the Mishlachim are honest people. I must say that. But you have this kind of people. People steal stuff out of the mailbox. You have people who have to do with the women that come. People who have to do with children that came. We have people that cost the donors, if they don't give me enough, they think they should give me $360. And he only gave him $10, he curses them out. So we people don't have to go through all this abuse. We have people that have already been indicted for all kinds of things by the police, apprehended by the police. So we have a list of a lot of these people, and so they don't get. So therefore, they are right not even to let them into the house if they don't have a letter. They shouldn't let them in a house at all. And we tell them, you have a right to do this. And Baruch Hashem, we think that it's gone a long way to help people give their money to the right people. Because once they've been denied a letter, they don't usually come again. They can't make very much money in Baltimore without a letter. Okay, well, so what was your question again?
I just want to follow, make sure I understand.
Yes. In other words, we can wait for 10 days. That means the puzzle is an hour, according to our investigation, the puzzle is an honest person. The cause that he's coming for, whether from himself or someone else, is an honest cause. That he there has been no problems with him in the past, and there doesn't. And so we can assume there's not going to be any problems with him in the future, and you can rely on that.
In a situation where someone comes to me and says, I can't afford to go back to Baltimore every 10 days. Well, you're saying you can only go once anyway.
Only once a year.
In other words, I can only go to Baltimore once a year. 10 days is not enough for me to cover the whole country.
Well, it's not meant for the whole country. It's only meant for Baltimore. The letter is only meant for Baltimore. It says that he's our agent to collect money in the Baltimore community for 10 days. That's
so,
it.
So I, in Passaic, should not be giving anything?
No, we're not saying anything for Passaic. You have Rabbanim and Passaic. The Rabbanim and Passaic should decide whether they should. Thank you. Whether they what should be done. But it is a sign, you should consider a sign the person is an honest person. And that if he's coming for a cause, that it's an honest cause. So of course this person comes and said he's collecting for Rav Chaim Kanievsky's yeshiva. So are we going to write him out a letter? No. We threw him out. Rav Chaim Kanievsky doesn't have a yeshiva.
Brian had it. I'm sorry. Brian had his hand.
We were talking about the LEDs. I'm an engineer. I've worked with electronics. And if I put an LED on my head, I can feel the heat. It doesn't matter how much current I put through it, how much voltage, I can feel the heat. The other thing is, isn't there another issue with Binyan? When you flip the switch,
when
you circuit?
The Chazanish says that, but I must say that most of the poskim do not go that route. They don't think it's a big binyan. It's only when you build something, but not where it's a. There's nothing tangible that you're building over here. I mean, there's something that works now. But binyan is only when if you knock a nail on the building, so the building becomes bigger, so it's binyan.
Can you talk about how to use one oven to milk
a
plate in the house?
You want to know how to do that? Okay, there's two inyanim with an oven. One is if you're cooking in the oven, and the other is if you're baking in the oven. When you're cooking in the oven, the chances are that the steam is going to come out and will mess up the oven. And there'll be a lot of mushes in the oven. Or if anything spills, there's mere mushroom. You can only use milk as inflation if there is completely clean. It has to be completely clean and nothing is spilled over. Once something spills over, you've got to kasher it. If something did spill over and didn't kasher it, then you're going to ask Rav Shaya what to do. There may be some ways how to be matched. But Rav Moshe Feinstein says like this, when you're baking, so then you can bake milchiks and fleshiks in the oven, one not at the same time, one after the other, as long as the oven is clean. If you're cooking, if you cook something uncovered in the oven, if it's milchiks, the oven becomes milchiks. If you cook fleshiks in the oven uncovered, it'll become fleshiks. If you cook milchiks uncovered and fleshiks uncovered, even one after the other, the second one will become treif, or may become treif. So he says that the way to do it is make up your mind, you can have a milk oven or a fleshik oven. If you decide it should be fleshiks, all the milk should be covered all the time. Everything milk should be covered. If you want to make it a milk oven, all the fleshiks should be covered, and you can, that you can do.
So you use the same oven?
Same oven, yes. Talk about the same oven.
One oil?
Cover it? You want how to cover it? Either with a cover or with the aluminum foil. Yes, you can cover it.
I think we'll take the last question. I have to travel another 3.5 hours back. Mamish.
Can one kosher a microwave oven from milk distillation and bath? Is that recommended?
In general, the minig is that we do not kosher for milk distillation. The reason being that, let's say, one set of cutlery. Okay, so today you use it for milchiks, then you wait 24 hours and kasher it, then you use it for fleshiks, and then you wait 24 hours and kasher back to milchiks. after a while you're going to get mixed up. And you don't remember if it was milchus, was fleshiks. Very hard to remember. So the minig is you do not kasher milchus to fleshiks. If something, there is a way how to do it, to kasher milchus to fleshiks. That is, you make a treif. You make a treif, and now it's treif. And from once you kasher from treif, then it becomes parf. And then you can use it whatever you want. So how do you make a treif? If you, let's say it was milchus, or fleshiks, you want to make it milchus. So what do you do? You cook milk, cook it with milk, make a treif. No, you can't cook milk and meat together, so you can't do that. So the way to do it is that you take a treif of fish and cook it together with this cutlery, and then you can kasher it. Now, I held that you can do, I want this to be off the record if you would, if you're asked to do that.
I can pause it.